Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am not Cy Kellett, but I am your host for this second hour. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you guys. So as Cy mentioned in the first hour, we have a special guest for this first segment. We're talking to Matthew Lavagna. He's actually, the reason he's here is because he came to the Catholic Answers Conference this past weekend. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good. It's great for you to be, to have you here in the studio. Now, you're coming all the way from France.
Exactly.
I don't know, Cy, does he get a reward for this? I'm not sure, but he should get us a reward from coming all the way from Europe to visit us for the conference. So you're, just to kind of kick things off, so you're an apologist.
Yes, I'm the only full-time apologist in France.
Okay, yeah. Tell me more about that. So what's the landscape in Europe right now, the Catholic world?
So the Catholic apologetics is not as developed in Europe than here in the USA. So I started studying apologetics approximately around 2018, 2019. I've benefited a lot from Catholic Answers. And since I lived 4 years in the U.S. before in Houston, Texas, I spoke English, and so I could read and understand the content you guys were creating here. And I thought that it would be good to create things like this in France, and so this motivated me to write my first apologetic book in 2021. And so my book was called Be Rational, Become Catholic, Soyez Rationnel, Devenez Catholique. It was basically an in-depth defense of Catholic apologetics and many arguments in favor of the faith. And so I started working as a professional apologist in 2021. And yeah, I've been very happy continuing since then. I've written 5 books and I have a YouTube channel.
Wow. So you're familiar with the apologetical landscape of the United States, mainly because it's founded as a Protestant country. So a lot of the apologetics that we do is Protestant based. I mean, obviously there's a few other things that we do, of course, atheism and who knows, just a whole slew of them. But France is one of the original Catholic countries.
Yeah, it's mostly Catholic. It used to be the eldest daughter of the church, yeah. Lots of Catholics. Now it's become very secularized, lots of atheism, and a lot of Islam. So we have massive Islamic immigration, which means that Catholics now are starting to understand that they must defend themselves intellectually. We have lots of objections on the Trinity, the divinity of Christ, even from atheists on the reliability of the Gospels. And so it's not like here it's mainly focused on Protestantism because the country is historically Protestant. But I benefited also from the work you guys do in natural theology, metaphysics. And so I think the two biggest themes that need to be developed in the French apologetics is arguments for God, so arguments against atheism, and arguments against Islam and in defense of Christianity. To me, these are the two most important issues nowadays.
Okay, and what are the churches like within? I mean, obviously, you have some of the most beautiful churches in the world in France, but what is the community within the churches look like, especially, first of all, attendance, and then second of all, their understanding and catechesis of the faith?
So it's a bit similar to here that there was a crisis in catechesis in the 1970s, 1980s, so lots of bad catechesis. Even I had a very poor catechesis, so we used to go to catechesis. We drew pictures, we watched videos on Jesus, but we didn't really learn substantial arguments or theology, learning about the Catholic faith and its beauty. And that is sad. So when I was like 17 or 18 years old, I wanted to understand more my faith. I had questions. Priest didn't give me a lot of answers, so I had to do the research myself and to catechize myself, but I didn't receive a solid catechesis. And I think it's the case for a whole generation in France. I think it's similar here, right?
So, yeah. Well, what was What was it that made you want to start getting involved in apologetics?
Well, I was in a scientific class, so I loved science, and people at school were, I was the only Christian in my class, and I had objections from my atheist friend saying, oh, you're a Christian, you believe in God, well, that's irrational, you believe in miracles, we all know miracles are impossible, that they contradict the laws of physics, so how can you love science and be a Christian? So I had all these objections when I was in high school or college, and I was like, okay, I need to defend myself, like, I really believe my faith, and I like scientific stuff, mathematics, so I studied mathematics at university. And so this is what got me interested in apologetics. Is there really good rational reasons to defend my faith, or must I abandon my faith and become an atheist? And so I started digging into the apologetic world and discovered that there were many great arguments, many great debates that were taking place in the U.S. William Lane Craig debating atheists, Trent Horn having very good debates with atheists, pro-abortion, like on every ethical issues, things like that. So not only was the faith solid, but the morality of the Catholic Church was credible. And learning all of this made me more confident in my faith. It reinforced my faith. And I was like, okay, well, I need to share this with others, with my French compatriots who don't speak necessarily English. So I must do this work of translating arguments and making it available for them.
What has been your successes or maybe things that you really need to work on that... Are the French actually interested in this, or is it, have you been running up against the wall?
So I think there's a growing interest in apologetics in France because there has been a whole era of relativism, but now the young generation is changing. They are more in search of answers to their questions, in search of the meaning of life, because secularism and materialism doesn't fulfill man's aspiration to deep, meaningful questions. And so there's a quest for truth amongst the youth in France, and so I think apologetics has a bright future in France, so I won't despair on this one.
Okay, good. And so if people want to find you, and maybe people who know French or want to share some with their French family or friends, where do they find the content that you make?
So they can find my books on Amazon. I've written 5 books. So one on general Catholic apologetics. That was my big first book. It's a 450-page book, so pretty long. But I've made a shortened version about this book. So for people who want an introduction to apologetics, mm-hmm. perhaps you could buy the short version. And then if you want to deepen your understanding of it, you can read the bigger version. I've written also a book on pro-life apologetics, on euthanasia, because it's going soon to be legalized in France, probably. And I've written against Jesus mythicism, so defending the church historically and the early Christianity historically. So you can buy my books. I have a YouTube channel called Mathieu Lavagna, my name. And most of the videos are in French, but there's a few that I've done in English. I've done some interview with Trent Horn, and I've done a debate on Eucharistic miracles that is in English. So it's a 3-hour-long debate, but it's probably the most extensive and substantive debate that is on YouTube on the subject. So you guys can check that out on my channel.
Great. Well, this hopefully won't be the last time we have you on. Maybe we can make this a more close relationship where we're actually starting having you on the show and answering questions for us.
Sure, that would be great.
Great. Matthew, one more time, give us your YouTube channel and your website where people can find your work.
So my YouTube channel is Mathieu Lavagna, just my own name. You can type it on YouTube. You'll find it easily. And you can find my work on Amazon. And my website is mathieulavagna.fr. So you'll find my articles on there too. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Matthew, thank you so much for being on the show here. And once again, if you want to find his content, there you have it. When we come back, we're going to have another special guest to continue the conversation, not necessarily about speaking of bringing people to Jesus in Europe, but how to talk about Jesus with anyone. I always fumble that one. So when we come back, special guest right here on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hi, this is Deacon Dennis Lambert from the Diocese of Phoenix. When we listen to Catholic radio, we receive encouragement, strength, and most importantly, we receive the truth. Simply put, we need Catholic radio because we are and we become that which we surround ourselves with. So I encourage you to tune in, inspire up, and to wrap yourselves in the warm arms of faith, life, and love.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. My name is Edgar Lujano, producer for the show, and on special occasions, I get to sit on this side of the glass. You were probably listening to him on the first hour. Cy was here. Well, he was in his home studio, but because he's not here, I get to fill in the host chair. And today, for this second hour guest, we have the one and only Cy Kellett as the guest for the show. Cy, welcome to the show. It's weird.
This is fun, Edgar. Thanks very much. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So if you don't know, Cy Kellett is the host of Catholic Answers Live. Why am I even saying it? People already know what you do, Cy.
I wouldn't assume that. I would not assume that.
Fair enough. All right. So the reason we are having you on is because there's a new book that you co-authored with Steve Dawson called How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. Now, there we go. We've got double the image. So people want to buy it. I'll say go to shop.catholic.com. You can find it there. You had a conversation with Steve Dawson about the title, How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. So before we jump into the details of the book itself, what are the steps that he shares with you about how to talk to Jesus with anyone?
Okay. Well, thank you, Edgar. I probably should tell people who Steve Dawson is in case they don't know, because Steve is the founder of another great apostolate that's got going in recent decades, St. Paul Street Evangelization. And so our boss, Chris Check, told him one time when he was here, he said, I would like you to write a book for us, and I would like it to be called How to Talk About Jesus with Someone You Just Met. And so Steve said, yeah, he would write that book. And Steve has unbelievable knowledge to draw on. I mean, he's been talking with people and as an active evangelist, as a founder of an apostolate for a long time. And it's not just him. It's the whole apostolate has learned all these lessons. Well, I got the very blessed assignment of working with Steve. So I feel really good about saying this is a great book with lots of great material in it, because none of it comes from me. And Steve is really very, very helpful in this. So I have actually forgotten what the question was. I am not good at being interviewed. I'm not good at the other side of it. But eventually the title got changed to How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. And it's Steve's ideas from St. Paul Street Evangelization, and I find them just bracing. I think they're great.
So the book is the four. What are the four steps that?
The four steps was the question. Steps, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. So this comes from St. Paul Street Evangelization, and so it's a collective effort, you know, that came up with these, but also they come from the long history of evangelization. You know, Steve is very fond of saying we don't have to reinvent this. The saints are pretty good at this evangelization thing. Do what the saints do. Do what Jesus himself did. Do what the apostles did. So, and those four steps are consistent throughout the whole history of the church. And the first part of it is listening. And, you know, when you think of Jesus with the woman at the well, he has a nice conversation with her. And now his listening is much more profound than our listening, because as soon as he sees her, he knows everything about her. But we can imitate him in having good conversations with people where we learn about people. Then we want to build bridges of friendship with people. We want to have the conversations and respond to the things we learned from people by building bridges of friendship. That means responding charitably and humanely and being open to the needs that the other person might have, not just having our thing that we want to say. So the first two steps in the evangelization process, I feel like a lot of people who are afraid to evangelize, if they would just know that You probably could listen to people and make friends with them. Like, that's like, it doesn't start out weird. It starts out, like, I think that's what a lot of people have, is this fear that, oh, I'm just going to be the weirdo if I do that. Or I mean, it's only after listening and building those bridges of friendship that, Steve has amazing techniques for making this transition, that we make the proclamation of the gospel, that we proclaim the gospel. And now here's the deal. We're all obliged to proclaim the gospel. That is a Christian obligation that is on all of us. But that doesn't mean like what I think people think it means sometimes. They think that means, you know, like, okay, I listened to what you had to say. I acted like I was your friend. And now let me tell you about Jesus and how... I mean, there's sometimes when that might be what you need to do, but in most cases, no, it should be a fully human interaction where you have vulnerabilities as a person and they have vulnerabilities as a person. And into that, you find what Pope St. Paul VI calls the unique word. That is, the word that passes from one person to another is not the same as the word that passes from another person to another. That because there are two human intellects and two human hearts involved, it will be a unique interaction for each. So proclaiming is required, but understood properly, it's not quite as horrible as you think it is. And then finally, the fourth step in the whole evangelization process is inviting. You've proclaimed the gospel, now invite people to something. You know, here's an idea for a book you could read, or maybe here's a rosary. Maybe you want to take up praying the rosary, or maybe, you know, it's somebody that doesn't even believe in God, and you're like, here's my email address. If questions come up that you'd like to talk about, shoot me an email. So there's always an invitation to the next step to bring the person closer to the person of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Okay. So I heard somewhere through the grapevine that you had the title before you actually had the book. Is that true?
Yeah, it was actually Chris Check that came up with it. I mean, not the exact title we have now, but the whole point of it was Chris thought that Steve Dawson had this knowledge that he wanted to get on the page to help the reader. To help anybody who wants to talk about, you want to talk with your kids about Jesus, you want to talk with your grandma about Jesus, you want to talk with the stranger on the street about Jesus. There are steps, there are processes, there are ideas that can help you. And Chris just wanted to get it. So Chris proposed it. He said, let's just, can you give me a book, how to talk about Jesus with someone you just met? And Steve said, yeah, he could. And in the course of writing the book, the title got changed to How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. But yeah, this is definitely a book where the title came before the book.
Beautiful. Great.
Because the title sums up the idea. You know, it's like, I think that's why the cover of the book is not a picture or anything. It's just the words, because the words actually sum up exactly what you are going to get when you open this book.
Yeah, you really don't have anything to you really don't need to explain it. You just kind of share it, how to talk about Jesus with anyone. So
right.
Great. All right. So you laid out the four steps, the purpose of the book itself. So the real question becomes, well, you and I are in the Catholic media world. We share the faith. We evangelize to people every day. But what about the lady that's sitting at home most of her life? What about the people that are just working their 9-to-5? Do they have an obligation to evangelize? Are they obligated to do that as well, not just media professionals or clergy?
Oh, I would go even further than that. I would say, you know, the person who is sick in bed and dying, they have the obligation to evangelize. We all do. Now, dying is actually a privileged moment, and we often hear about those who are dying. By their example of their faith in Christ, they evangelize family members. But maybe you can't do any of that. Maybe, you know, you can't even speak or move or what. You still have the obligation to evangelize. It's an absolute obligation on the Christian. And now in that case, like if I were in a situation where I couldn't speak or move and I was approaching death, I imagine that the way that I would be evangelizing, I hoped that God would give me the grace to remember that that's what I was supposed to be doing, would be to simply be warm and kind to the degree that I could, maybe even just with my eyes, but also to offer my suffering for those who are evangelizing. You know, the patron, the Catholic Church's patron of the missions is Thérèse of Lisieux. She went to a convent. She never went to a mission, but she's the patron of the missions because she offered all of her suffering, all of her life in the convent, in the monastery, for those who were engaged actively in the world evangelizing. And so she's a great evangelist. Now, it turns out she also was, she ended up writing this book, The Story of a Soul, which evangelized like crazy. But that wasn't that all comes from the fact that she was completely committed to sharing Jesus with others. And she knew she was called to the life of prayer in a monastery, but that call didn't mean she doesn't have an obligation to evangelize. So we do it in all different ways. But like you mentioned, the lady who's home alone, you know, or lives alone. Well, she has neighbors. She has people she talks to on the phone. She has social media. What a great gift social media is for evangelizing. And she has her own suffering and prayers and all of that she can offer. So yes, every single one of us has the duty to share Jesus in the capacity that fits our current state of life.
So for the people that don't have the capacity to move around, there's still that obligation that sits there.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on all of us. And you know, like I don't know if you've known people who have done this, but their dying is a service to others. Mm-hmm. The way they forgive others, the way they don't complain, or maybe they do complain, but they don't do so in a way that's, you know, contrary to the spirit of the gospel. The way they pray with people and all that. Even our death can be an evangelizing experience. And what a great way to go. I mean, died sharing the love of Christ with others.
Wow. Well, if you're interested in purchasing the book, you can go to shop.catholic.com. It's How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. Now, Cy, obviously, there's some straightforward answers to this next question, but what do you think? What is it that why do you think people are nervous about evangelizing? Like, what is it about having to talk about Jesus to people that makes people nervous?
I think that, you know, I do think people, you know, all of us want to fit in. We're social creatures. There's the natural social pressure not to upset the kind of whatever the standards or habits of our society are. So I think there's that. But then the other thing is there's an exaggerated sense of what it means to evangelize, a kind of like, well, am I going to have to like get on a soapbox? Am I going to have to talk through a bullhorn? And the answer is no. Very, very likely you will not have to do those things. And most evangelization does not take that form. But we're not exactly sure. And then there's the other thing, Edgar, and that is, how do you break the ice with this? I mean, how do I get from here to I'm talking about the faith with someone? How do I cross that bridge? And that is where I think Steve is amazing and the folks at St. Paul Street Evangelization are. And I think that the best stuff in the book, by the way, the book is called How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. Wasn't that good, Ed?
That was so good. I mean, you're
the
filling
best
in.
Stuff in there is the stuff about how to get from here, where I'm not talking about Jesus, to over there, where I am talking about Jesus, without the world like cracking open from my shame and embarrassment. You know, there's helps for this. Really good, smart ideas for this.
You know, I think one of the last things when we were talking about this book not too long ago, you and I were talking about, you know, going out there and talking to people, but just that little step of saying, like, well, what's your relationship with Jesus? I'm not sure if this conversation was with you or not, but that initial step of saying, what do you think, you know, where are you with Jesus, or how's your prayer life, or what's this look like? I think you mentioned it at the conference that it starts, it's actually the beginning of a joke in for somebody's stand-up comedy. how it's almost it's almost like a joke.
It is like a joke. I think it was Jim Gaffigan who did a show once, and he came out and he said, "Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you all for coming. I'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ." And everybody laughed because there's this that is an uncomfortable moment. Like, well, let's not lie. That's an uncomfortable moment for most people, you know? So because you don't know what that person is going to say, and then it's just so uncomfortable. Well, that doesn't mean that there's no place for that moment, but it does mean that, look, it's a joke for a reason. That's not the usual that has a kind of artificiality to it. And so, like, I was in Boston recently, and there was a guy on the street corner, and he was literally doing the yelling at people about Jesus through a bullhorn. I mean, that's what he was doing right at the corner of the Boston Common there. And I've seen lots of people do a similar thing right in that exact same spot. It's like the busiest corner in Boston. And here's how many people stopped and listened. Zero. Nobody stopped and listened. Exactly zero people stopped and listened, because I think people are like, I don't know what this guy is on about. I don't even know what he's on. That's what they're probably first thinking. Like, I don't know. It's not compelling, or it's rarely compelling. And part of that has to do with this guy doesn't listen to anybody. He just yells at people. And that's why Steve says, step one, listen.
Yeah.
You want people to listen to you? Listen to them.
The monologue, not the dialogue. There you have it. When we come back, we're going to continue more with this conversation with Cy Kellett about how to talk about Jesus with anyone on Catholic Answers Live.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the Church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
The Stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Edgar Lujano filling in for Cy Kellett today because Cy Kellett is on the show today, but he is on the guest side, not the host side. And as I was telling him during the break, I'm actually more nervous on today's episode than I am on other episodes when I'm talking to other people. And I don't know, well, I do know why, but it feels like I'm being judged, Cy.
Because I'm mean. I think that, I think you're... It's weird. I mean, you have to see me at work.
Well, it's not that. It's just like, I'm doing your job and it's.
Oh, and I'm sitting right here while you're doing my job.
Exactly.
Better than I
do. How about this? Yeah. How about one day you call screen and I just look over your shoulder the entire time and be like, that didn't.
I'll do that. I'll call screen for you.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. We'll trade one day. And then
you're going to, I'm not fast at that kind of stuff. Like, you're not going to get very many calls.
And then we get Darren to host the show.
Darren, there's no way. Darren is. I sometime have Darren tell you about the time he had to host because I blew it. That's for another time.
That's for
he
another
does
time.
Not want to host the show.
Well, we're talking to you, Cy, about how to talk about Jesus with anyone. The book that you co-wrote with Steve Dawson. If you
well,
wanna... well,
I mean, you're being generous to me. The way that it says how to talk about Jesus with anyone by Steve Dawson with Cy Kellett.
With
so
Cy
I'm the
Kellett.
With is something less than the author.
Tell me more about that. Know? What do you mean by that?
It's hard to describe, but I interviewed Steve. I corresponded with Steve. I asked him to, help me and direct me and all that. And then I assembled all this material that came from Steve. And so, like, I'm like the assembly guy. Like, I'm not the inventor of the Lego set. I'm the assembler of the Lego set.
Okay,
like, Lego had to do all the work of making the Legos. All I did was put the Legos together.
Okay. All right. Well, the book is Steve Dawson with Cy Kellett, How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. If you want to get a copy, you can go to shop.catholic.com to pick up a copy. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend you picking it up.
Just one copy?
Well, I mean, you can buy it for your parish and then Cy will get
for everyone in your parish.
Yeah. Well, so Steve shared his wisdom with you. I mean, he's got years of experience doing this since he founded St. Paul Street Evangelization. So obviously he shared about the nervousness that people have when it comes to evangelizing. And we were discussing before the break, the people standing on the corners. It's kind of don't you feel some kind of secondhand embarrassment when somebody's out there with a bullhorn and they're not actually doing any justice to Jesus. They're actually just making things worse.
Well, I mean, one of the problems with it is like, often the person is saying things that are not true about Jesus.
Yeah.
You're like, you're listening to it going, well, this person needs to know the gospel. And that's part of Steve's wisdom. In this book opens with some chapters on, do you know the gospel? Yeah. And the gospel is often not what people think the gospel is. People make a mistake about what the gospel is. And certainly some of the things that are shouted on street corners about Jesus, you go, no, that is not actually what happened. That is not what Jesus said. That is not how Jesus thinks about people. So knowing the gospel is really, really important. And so part of this book is what is the real gospel?
Yeah.
And once you know it, then you'll probably be a little better at sharing it.
So in some ways, it's the same for all of us. We still have that same calling, but in what ways do we fulfill that calling differently?
Well, you know, one of the things they do at St. Paul Street Evangelization is when there are people out in the street evangelizing, there are other people serving those evangelists. And they don't say those people are less important. They say those people are essential. And we're all essential to this. It's like saying, like, the hand has no use of the foot, or, you know, I can't remember. I messed up my St. Paul right there, but Steve wouldn't have messed it up. But, you know, we all have different roles at different times in the evangelizing process. But the people who are back at a parish in front of the Blessed Sacrament on their knees praying for the evangelist and praying even more for the hearts of those who will hear the evangelists, they're every bit as important. Or as Steve says, you know, somebody has to go to the printer and pick up the printed materials. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to get the miraculous medals and the rosaries. You know, like, there's a lot of different ways to be part of the evangelizing process. Mm-hmm. Now, we all are responsible for knowing the gospel and saying the actual words of evangelization sometimes, but not all of us have that as our predominant way of being called to evangelize. Mm-hmm. But then but many of us have a feeling of, I have a kid who as an adult left the practice of the faith. How do I get the conversation even started? I'm a teacher in a public school. You can talk about your faith in a public school. You have to do so carefully, certainly in states like California, where they often forget what the Constitution says. But, you know, in different situations, I'm a nurse. How do I share my faith as a nurse? Well, that's why the book is called How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, because there are certain things you can learn that will help you either to start these conversations or to know where to go when the moment comes up for these conversations.
Can I share a story with you of evangelizing a nurse after one of my surgeries?
Yes.
I remember I had just woken up from the anesthetic and it was like fully woken up. And it was about 2 or 3 in the morning and one of the nurses walked in, you know, they check up on you. And I don't know if I had a rosary in my hand or for some reason Catholicism came up. And I started talking to her about the faith. And I told her, I asked her if I could pray with her. And she stopped what she was doing and she said, "You have no idea how refreshing it is to be able to talk about Jesus with people because we can't talk about it. But if you're bringing it up, I can." And I prayed with her in the middle of the night, which was just an incredible moment. And after that, I fell back asleep and I never saw her again. But it's one of those little moments that just that I recall back of, you know, it could have been uncomfortable if I brought it up, but the conversation naturally came up and was able to pray with her.
Yeah, so, right. You know, right. And I'll tell you, first of all, that is a beautiful story. And you're sick in a hospital in bed, and there's still the opportunity for evangelizing. In your case, it was an opportunity of sharing your own vulnerability that you wanted to pray, that you want somebody. And that's often the case. That's not awkward or weird. So I'll tell you something I learned from Steve and then about some people who tried it. Because you go to a restaurant with your family and, you know, you order your the chips and salsa comes and you've ordered your food and everything. And so before you eat the chips and salsa, I'm not saying this because of your cultural identity. I'm sorry that I went straight to chips and salsa. I didn't mean this to be quite so specific.
Everyone likes chips and salsa.
But everybody in the world likes chips and salsa. Yes, right. But you know the moment where you pray before you eat, where you say grace. This is an evangelizing moment in itself. This is, okay, it's not weird. You didn't do anything to anybody. You didn't force anybody into a conversation. But everybody at your table made the sign of the cross and prayed some form of prayer before eating. All right, that itself is evangelizing. But Steve said to me, he goes, well, what if you... instead of just doing that, what if when the waiter or waitress brought the chips and salsa, you said, "Hey, we always pray before we eat. Is there anything we can pray for you?" Hmm. And I tried that, and it was quite striking. Really? How that now, like I said at the conference this weekend, you know, sometimes the reaction you get is, "Look, I'm doing a double shift today. I do not need this." But that's not the most common reaction. And often people will tell you, "Yeah, I'm going through a hard time," or "Thank you," or even "Thank you, but no, that's okay. I don't have anything," you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. But I remember one young woman who was clearly touched by this. I was with a group of people at this time. And that kind of gives you a boldness when you're with a group of people. And we were going to pray. And I thought, well, okay, this is the thing Steve did say. I said, "Can we pray for you for anything?" And she had something for us to pray with. And it was obvious that she also was ministered to in that moment. Mm-hmm. She was evangelized in that moment, that it's okay to talk about faith and God loves you and there's people that will pray for you and all those things. So you're not always trying to convey the whole gospel message. Sometimes you're just trying to share the gospel the way that that moment presents. So then I told this, a version of this at our conference this weekend. And I told it on a Saturday afternoon. Well, Saturday night, people went out to dinner. And the next day, people were coming up to me and saying, "Our group went out to dinner and we tried that thing that you said." And again, this is not my idea. This Steve Dawson told me to do this. This is evangelizing. These people went out from our evangelizing conference and evangelized other people. One woman told me that their group had a lovely conversation with the waiter after this, and it was on a different level. It was on a faith level. Another woman told me that the woman started to cry and said she really needed prayer, and this group, wow, like they all prayed for her, and she was so grateful, and they ended up taking a group photo with her before they left. this is not going to break you. This is not going to kill you. This is not the hardest thing in the world. This is not standing up on a street corner. This is saying, okay, I'm already going to pray. I'm going to clearly make the sign of the cross on myself, and I'm going to say prayers with the people at my table before we dig into the chips and salsa and, you know, do the Cookie Monster thing with chips and salsa. Now, all you're doing is turning to a person and saying, can we pray for you? You know what you're doing at that moment? You're evangelizing. You're an evangelist. And that's why I just loved talking with Steve for the book, How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, because when you do that, you are talking about Jesus with someone you didn't think that day when you woke up you were going to be talking with that person. And you know, real good can come from it.
You know what it is, Si? It's the white martyrdom of potential embarrassment. That's what that is.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's not bad. You're not shedding blood.
No, but that's hard. We don't want to pretend like that's not hard. But yeah. Edgar, if you did this 50 times, how many of them do you think would result in someone hurting your feelings?
Yeah.
Probably not that many of them. Yeah. It's either going to be a no thank you, I can't think of anything, or thanks, but that's all right, I don't believe in that, or what. But mostly it's going to be like, oh, thank you. Yeah, could you pray for my daughter who's starting in kindergarten this week? Or can you pray for my mom who's sick? Or and then you're sharing the gospel together with somebody. That's evangelizing.
Beautiful. Well, we're talking with Si Kellett about How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, a book written by Steve Dawson with Si Kellett, just to be clear with that. And when we come back, we'll finish up this conversation with Si on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray at some point our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live, talking to Si Kellett, the host of this show. Seems like you're just trying to throw me off here. All right, we're jumping back into the book. I as you were talking earlier, one thing came up. I'm known as the religious guy within my family and friend circles and all that. Even my non-Catholic friends or nominally Catholic friends, they try to avoid talking religion with me, or if I ever meet somebody new, they always try to avoid it. But sometimes what will happen is I'll mention, oh yeah, I work for a Catholic organization, and some people say, oh, you grew up Catholic, or oh yeah, I used to go to church, but I have these problems with this. I don't like the scandal that happened in the church, the pre-sex scandal. I don't like that you worship Mary. And they start kind of going off on the things that they don't like. And the thing that I struggle with is, do I jump into apologetics defense and start knocking out all those things and making it into a combative thing? Or is there another way I can approach it where it's not going to shut them off from someone who's trying to be defensive? Like, what's a good method to jump into it, to actually evangelize and not just sound like a cranky old guy trying to defend his faith?
Yeah, and I do think sometimes I think your impulse is right not to turn everything into a fight. I mean, how many people really have been fought into the Catholic Church? How many people have really been fought into a relationship with Jesus? I mean, this is something, again, that Steve stresses. Like joy is a big part of this. actual humanity towards others, charity, kindness, thoughtfulness. These are all way, way more effective techniques. And they're not just techniques, but, you know, I'm just using that word, like, than the technique of having all the answers, knowing just what to say. That's probably not going to help anybody. I mean, it can sometimes help people, but you do need to be prepared to make a defense. But what are you supposed to make a defense of? The church? Are you supposed to make a defense of the doctrines of the church? Are you supposed to make a defense? St. Peter says, be prepared to make a defense of the joy that is within you. So, like, that's kind of important. Like that's what you're supposed to be able to defend. Yeah. So this is another thing that I learned from Steve, is there are ways of listening and speaking that actually open the conversation rather than close off the conversation. And the best one that's in the book, and it is so good that there's several chapters on it because it's, I think, just super helpful, is what he calls the one good reason method. And so you're not trying to get into a position where you can prove to someone that Jesus is God. Your proof is probably not going to work anyways. I mean, it works on you, but it's probably not going to work on the other person. It's great to give evidence. It's great to – all these things are important. And even philosophical proofs and theological proofs are important. But what's much more important is to share the – what's, again, what Pope Paul VI called the unique word. That is the word that passes from me to you. Me, unique person. You, a unique person. Jesus, an absolutely unique person. So how do I pass that word from me to you? That's what I'm concerned with. I'm not concerned with winning a fight. You can win, as has been said many times at Catholic Answers, you can win the argument and lose a soul. You got to better be pretty careful about not being the guy that can win all the arguments and loses souls. Yeah. Because Jesus is not interested in your arguments. Yeah. He doesn't need them. Yeah. And what he needs are those souls. That's why he gave his life. So the one good reason method is, look, somebody says to you, you go, yeah, I don't know. You're in a talk about the Catholic faith, about your own Catholic faith, or something. And the person says, you know, I used to go to Mass, but I didn't get anything out of it, and now I don't feel any call to go back. I feel close to God. I feel like God loves me. I love God. I try to be a good person. I don't see any reason to go back to Mass. You could say all kinds of arguments, and some of those arguments could be helpful. But Steve's suggestion is, why not say something like this? Could I share with you one good reason why I go to Mass? Okay, you are quite specifically not going to argue now. You're going to share a reason why you go to Mass. You're going to tell your story. You're going to give your witness. And people tend not to argue with other people's stories. You don't go, oh, your story is wrong and stupid. We listen to each other's stories and we process them. And also we're imitating the Savior, who often taught by telling stories. We're not great parable tellers like Jesus is, at least most of us aren't, but we could tell our one good reason. So maybe here's your one good reason. You know, I'll be honest with you. I was away from the Mass for a long time until somebody said to me, you know, the only thing Jesus ever asked us to do in memory of him was the Eucharist. And so if he asked us, I decided I'll go back. And when I went back, I found that there's healing there, that I was probably already a good person, but I found healing to become part of a community of people, to admit my sins, to overcome some habitual sins. So now you're telling your story about what happened to you. Someone made an argument to you. The argument got you to go back. When you went back, you did. Now, look, Mass doesn't heal everything right away. It didn't fix all my problems, but I did come closer to Jesus because I felt I was doing the thing that he asked me to do in memory of him. And I actually was surprised that I got better at forgiving and I got better at loving when I did it. Okay, now you've planted seeds. That's all you can do. See, Steve is saying, you're not going to argue and fight this person back to Mass. You've planted seeds with that person. So you could give one good reason why you go to Mass. You could give one good reason why you believe in the Bible. You could give one good reason why you believe Jesus is God. You could give one good reason why God exists. All of that depends on what the other person is arguing about, or what the other person, then that requires listening. Your one good reason that you're giving is a response to what you have learned by listening and being open to the other person.
You know, right now I feel like George McFly in Back to the Future, listening to Marty, giving all the dating advice. I just want to write all this down. But instead of writing it down, I can just go and pick up the book. So anybody who wants to pick up the book, How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, you can go to shop.catholic.com and pick it up. And you'll get all this information that Cy's talking about in this book.
The new book from Marty McFly, How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone. Actually, from Steve Dawson, the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization, with my organizational input.
Beautiful. All right. So Cy, for us extroverts, would you consider yourself an extrovert or an introvert?
No, I don't. I kind of believe in that. Like, there's some people introverts, some people are extroverts. I am definitely not an extrovert.
Okay. So you being an introvert, can you testify that this actually works for introverts, or it's kind of more for people like me?
Oh, this is another thing I learned from Steve, is that people go, like, people actually say this, I don't think I can do it because I'm a very introverted person. Two things about that. One, introverts are often the best evangelists because they listen to other people in a way that extroverts often don't. We're just different. So some people, they're going to be best evangelized by an introverted person because of the way that conversation will go. The other thing about that, and you know what, that's enough. It's just that one thing. I was going to say two things, but that one thing is enough. That your introversion might mean that certain kinds of evangelization do not fit for you, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, it means there are other kinds of evangelization and other people to be evangelized for whom you are the perfect person, because you can sit quietly for long periods of time, or you can engage in, often introverts have very deep friendships. And so maybe the extrovert can evangelize 1,000 people, but the introvert can evangelize a few people at a very deep level. So certainly your personality, your demeanor, your preferences are all part of how you will evangelize. But the introvert is the best evangelist for certain situations, and you should learn to do it so that you'll be ready.
You know, when I taught high school, I always told my students that that are practicing, I said, you need to go out and talk about these things too, because there's people out there that you're going to be able to reach that I will never be able to reach, because we don't speak the same language in terms of cultural understanding or even generational understanding, or even introverted and, and extroverts, because sometimes as extroverts can talk a little too much, and the introverted person who's listening is kind of like, all right, this guy's just talking too much. So maybe another introvert can actually be helpful for them.
That's exactly it. And that's, or there may be an extrovert who needs somebody calm and quiet to listen to them before presenting the gospel to them. Mm-hmm. You know, like our personalities are not an obstacle to evangelizing. They're an opportunity to evangelize a person that is specially fitted to us and what we can do. Or maybe the introvert is a person who's really good on the internet, or they just make really good YouTube videos, or, you know, they have some other talent besides being the center of attention at a party.
Yeah. My mentor always talked about, he says, I'm the guy that makes other people look good when it comes to the faith. Like, I'm just here in the background. I'm doing things in the background. I want to make sure you're organized, you're doing well, I want to make this person look good so this person can go out and evangelize. And it's like what you mentioned earlier, there needs to be somebody who needs to print the material who's going to be evangelizing.
Right. Yeah. We've all, yeah, that's true. We've all got a role. But I would say the thing that I took away from this book is, if you prepare to evangelize, you will evangelize. Mm-hmm. But you have to do the preparatory work. You got to know the basics of the faith. You've got to practice the sacramental life. No point in evangelizing if you're not living the sacramental life with the person of Jesus Christ. And then you've got to learn some techniques. Just learn a few things that will be, learn how to break the ice with people. Learn how to use the miraculous medal or the rosary. Learn these things, and that's what Steve taught me and how to talk about Jesus with anyone.
All right, if you want a copy of your book, like I said, you can go to shop.catholic.com, pick up your book by Steve Dawson with Cy Kelly. This was fun, Cy. I love being on this side. It's been fun.
It was fun to judge you.
Yeah,
an
thank you. All right, you can.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You can put the sheet on my desk tomorrow morning.
Yeah, your score sheet.
My score sheet, okay. Exactly. Yeah. How I did. All right. Well, tomorrow you're back in the chair, and I'm back screening calls. So,
look. Carlo in? Is it Carlo tomorrow?
I think it's Carlo. Yeah. Well, yeah, Carlo, it is. All right.
That'll
well, I always forget the way you phrase it. How do you say it? We'll see you next time right here, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.
Nice, Edgar. Okay.